service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Go, Bob.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. We talked about a few days ago, we talked about Jesus being raised from the dead on a Sunday, and as a result, hundreds of millions of people don't work on Sundays, today 2,000 years later, and crime plummets on Sundays. So all the crime, the suffering, the pain that people are spared because of Jesus Christ 2,000 years later compared to the liberals in their day. Well, their day is two parts of two different days, Friday night and Saturday night, when they go out and get drunk and they're immoral and when all the crime, the rape, and the murder happens. So quite a difference, huh? So anyway, that day we had a call during a commercial break. A guy named Mark saying, but maybe Jesus didn't rise on a Sunday. Maybe it was a Saturday, because in the Greek, the New Testament, it always says that it was on the Sabbath. And so I'll respond to that a little later in the show. And that's not what the Greek says, but I understand why he misunderstood looking at it. And then also, we've got an email here from a guy from Chakota, Oklahoma. What a wonderful email, that he's been listening to the show for years, probably the best years of his life, he writes. And he was in public school and somewhat messed up, but he became a Christian. Now he's about to marry a beautiful Christian girl from the Philippines, and they're going to homeschool their kids. What a neat and encouraging email. And also, I'd like to talk to you guys out there about last night. Sarah called in, and she and I were talking about Israel and the Palestinians, what's going on. And we had an interesting conversation, and she had lived in Jordan, she said, for over a year. And so she was trying to maybe see both sides, and I was trying to present to her that the Palestinians are in the wrong. Israel is not a perfect country. They're not a righteous country. But in these matters that are in the news, in the headlines every day, the Palestinians are wrong. And so as we went on, and I think she had a hard time defending her position, then when I described to her the terrorist attack just from a few days ago, where a Palestinian terrorist took aim and shot a five-year-old Jewish girl in the head and just splashed blood all over her little bed. It just murdered her. And how that kind of terrorism is advocated by a growing percentage, a majority of the Palestinians, and how nothing could ever excuse terrorist attacks like that. And then after that, after describing that, how that five-year-old girl was just brutally murdered a few days ago, this caller, Sarah, who says she's a Christian, from where was it? From Goshen, Indiana? She probably goes to Goshen College. Maybe she's a Mennonite. They tend to be real liberal and sort of pacifist. But anyway, I don't think she was a pacifist. But then she basically made an excuse for the terrorist, justifying the terrorist because of Israel and the occupied territories, whatever. And I became enraged, absolutely enraged, how anyone, and especially a Christian, could do in any way make an excuse for, tolerate, defend, equivocate on the intentional slaughter of innocent children. That just enraged me. And so I'd like to hear from some of you guys out there. We've got a lot of email on the topic, and a number of calls on our order line today. You know, people figure out they could call the order line and maybe get through. And that works sometimes, but then we make them order something to keep us growing in this ministry. But so we'll take calls on that. You can call 1-888-8-NYART and get right through. The other lines are full. 1-888-836-9278. And big news is that yesterday Bill Clinton met with NBC in Los Angeles, this according to the LA Times, and he said he's interested in doing a daily TV talk show, and he's asking for $50 million a year, and he'd like to be the next Oprah Winfrey. Maybe that means he wants to alternately put on a lot of weight and lose a lot of weight. Put on a lot of weight and lose a lot of weight. I don't know. No, that's probably not what he means. But anyway, so that's according to the LA Times. And now, coincidentally, the first call we'll take, our number, 1-888-8-NYART, 1-888-836-9278, will go to Los Angeles in California. Marie, speak your mind.
Hi.
Hello, Marie.
How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
That's wonderful. I wanted to commend you for being able to get on the radio and state your views. Even, you know, if many people don't agree with them.
Wow, thank you very much.
I think that's a very commendable thing.
Yeah.
But in my experience with people like you,
yeah,
I have found that most of them who are homophobic and whatever,
yeah,
are normally closet homosexuals.
Now, wait a minute, Marie.
Is that you as well?
Marie, hold on a second, Marie. This is an H-free zone this month. For 1 month, we're not talking, we're not going to mention the H word or the G word for that, or the L word, or even the B word, or
well,
the Q word.
I'm mentioning it, so are you well, a closet you, homosexual?
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'll bring you back. Marie, you're on hold right now, so you don't violate the rule. This is an H-free zone for the entire month. And so if you're able to complete your call before, without referring, not only using the words, but even referring to the topic, then you're welcome back. And if not, then you'll have to wait till June 1st. Okay, we'll bring you back. Marie, is there any other topic you possibly wanted to talk about?
No, that's quite all right. I'll call back on June the 1st.
All right,
thanks.
Okay, bye. And we'll all wait with bated breath to find out. Well, I guess we know Marie's question. I guess we know her question. And so I wonder what the answer might be. Now, I don't want to just say the answer right now because she'll hear it, and I'd rather her call back and hear it on the air. All right, our phone number, 1-888-8-NYART, 1-888-836-9278. Oh, also, we finally have people in Indianapolis have been working to schedule a seminar, Does God Exist? A Does God Exist seminar. And that's come together, and the local sponsors have it at a church. Grace Church is the host church, and it's going to be on August 17th, a Saturday, from about 9 to 3, 9 in the morning to 3. You bring a lunch, and it'll be a blast. We'll have a good time, so see some of you there.
We all know Bob Enyart is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive 4 sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is the weekly worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or the Weekly Worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like Nicer Than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
Oh, it's so easy to manipulate the wicked. It really is easy to manipulate the wicked. Now, it's not nice to manipulate. We shouldn't manipulate friends, family, and the general public. But when you're dealing with your enemy, it's okay to manipulate the enemy, like the Nazis. You could manipulate the Nazis when you're at war with them. Or if you realize how evil they are and you want to manipulate them, that's okay to do. So it's fun to manipulate the enemy. All right. Yeah, and August 17th, in fact, later in the show, we hope to hear from one of the local sponsors of the seminar, someone with Grace Church, and it'll be fun. 6 hours of Does God Exist? And we've got a slide presentation that'll knock you off your feet. And we look at science and history, archaeology, the Bible, philosophy. It is fun. It's really fun. Does God exist? All right. Now, we're going to go to the phones. And in Rochester, New York, Dr. Wolf. Is this the famous Dr. Wolf?
I don't know about famous.
Well, the talk show host.
Well, I wanted to, first of all, Bob, you're doing great.
Thank you, sir.
I was catching my breath last night as Sarah was she couldn't hear. My opinion,
is
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit for their foolishness to him, neither can he discern them for their foolishly discerned. There are a lot of people that claim to be Christian, but it's the Christian stuff that I'm not made of.
Right, a lot of people say they're Christian, but they're clearly not. Like Jesus said, many of you will say to me, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I never knew you.
Matthew 25.
But then again, maybe Sarah was a Christian. I don't know. Christians are so weak these days.
Well, I thought her twin sister called in today. I almost thought it was Sarah.
Oh, you mean the lesbian from L.A.?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know that she... I got to pay. Now I got to... Dr. Wolf, I got to pay our board operator $1 every time I violate our own rule.
Oh, no. Because I tried not to tell you that I was also a right-wing religious fanatic, and I was going to go with the rest, and I thought, this is May.
That's right. In fact, I started out the show saying that. That's $2 I owe.
Bob, you're trying to get things in order.
Yeah. I'm a mess.
Out here in Rochester and upstate New York, I sure hope people not only hear you, but order your tapes and everything. You're just right down the line.
Well, that's
you ought to be.
That's very gracious of you, Pastor. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I got very, very angry with Sarah. And, of course, you're on the radio. You're supposed to have self-control.
Well, Jesus didn't have... Well, he did have self-control.
Absolutely.
When he went into the temple and literally beat them out of the temple for using the house of God wrong.
Yeah, he made a whip.
Right.
And in a rage, he whipped those who were turning the house of God into a den of thieves. And
go ahead.
You see in the Bible, now I don't want to make an excuse for any lack of self-control I may have. But I
have to say, Bob, I've been in the ministry 44 years, on the radio for 40. And, you know, the Bible says, and Jesus is one of the writers of the Bible, he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, be angry and sin not.
Mm.
And would you think that if Paul or Jesus or one of those godly kings of the Old Testament heard something like that, that they would just say, well, I don't want you to feel bad. I know we have to have self-control, but
yeah, right.
You know,
and if it was Samuel, think of the lovely man, the prophet Samuel. What a neat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the verses in the Bible says he took a sword and he hacked King Agag to pieces.
And what about Elijah after he showed him whose God was God?
That's right. And he mocked the 450 unbelievers. He mocked them, and then he executed them.
Well, what about Paul in chapter 13 of Acts, when Sergius Paulus looking to listen to the word of God,
right,
and Elimaeus, or Bar-Jesus, the other name, I mean, he tried to keep him away, and Paul turned around and cast a blind spell on him for a season.
That's worse than what I did to Sarah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dr. Wolf, I think about what the audience can deal with, and I don't want to alienate the audience, but when someone who claims to be a Christian begins making excuses for people who intentionally slaughtered children.
Well, that was horrible, but also, Bob, she would not respond to you. You gave her an opportunity to say yes or no, and she kept going, and finally, when you really, I think, provoked it out of her, she finally told what her heart really said.
Right.
It's okay to be just like, I don't call them suicide bombers. I call them homicide bombers because they kill and murder people.
Right. Very good point. And,
you know,
and so she, all along, she was thinking, well, the terrorists are not too bad because the
right.
Jews deserve it.
And you made her say what her heart.
We had to pull it out. We had
her mouth finally spoke.
Right. We had to pull it out of her, out of the depths of her heart, her hardened heart. Thank you so much, Dr. Wolf, for calling.
I want to say one thing, Bob.
Yeah.
On this business of Jesus being resurrected, and I'm not going to steal your fire, but I always love the fact that it says in Matthew, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week,
yeah,
the ladies came there. I believe at the end of the Sabbath,
yeah,
toward that first day,
mm-hmm,
that Jesus Christ, he ended the Sabbath, the holy days, the ordinances. He nailed them to the wall,
yeah,
Colossians 2.
That's beautiful.
And that's why, you know, and I'm going to be excited about what you're saying, because there are a lot of people that are Sabbath day worshipers, which
right,
they call Saturday. And I happen to be from Jewish extraction, and and, you know, I try to get across from a lot of my relatives. I mean, Jesus ended all of that.
Hmm. Dr. Wolf, thank you very, very much for calling in.
God bless you and keep up the good work.
God bless you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right. Now, real quick, we're going to have to do that after the break so that Denver won't get to hear it. But first, I want to go to Indianapolis. Our phone number, 1-888-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-888-836-9278. We have on the line one of the local sponsors of the Bob and Yurt Live seminar, Does God Exist? And Lisa King, thank you for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I got word today through our office staff that the seminar in Indianapolis has been set.
It's on Saturday, August 17th. We're so excited. Does God Exist? And it's going to be at Grace Church out on English Avenue in Indianapolis.
All right.
So all those people that are in Indianapolis or anywhere close, if you're in the next state, you need to come out. I've already talked to some people from Wisconsin who are just going to make a weekend of it.
Oh, isn't that exciting? You know,
really
we have
excited.
So many wonderful friends around the country. And, you know, we used to do a seminar almost every other weekend. We did scores of seminars all over the country. And now with my ministry changing, I pastor Denver Bible Church full-time. We really only do a seminar maybe every 4 or 5 months.
That's right. So this is a rare opportunity for people to come out and get to ask you questions and listen to 6 hours of good Bible teaching.
Well, I'm so very excited and honored that you guys have put this together, Lisa. And it may be, it just might be our last seminar for about a year because of all the incredible things going on with this ministry, the radio show, Denver Bible Church, the weekly Bible studies that we do. Everything is really at a pitched fervor right now. And we want to keep that all moving ahead.
That's right. Well, we do too.
So, but, okay. So Indianapolis.
That's right.
Grace Church, August 17th.
That's
a
right.
Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And people could bring their lunch.
Yeah, you'll get a chance to eat lunch with Bob Inyart.
Yeah, we'll have fun. And we, you know, we got a lot to cover in the seminar, Does God Exist, with just beautiful slide presentation. Just awesome.
Yes, I got to see the original presentation of Does God Exist
you
2 years ago, and
right.
It was incredible. And if anyone out there needs help witnessing to unbelievers, this is the kind of material that you need to be able to defend God's existence.
It really works, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? And we've done this in, for example, Lansing, Michigan, where we had a lot of students from the local community college come out, and interaction during the breaks and during the lunch, the interactions with the students, the atheists, the immoral students of a local community college, it was just a blast. It was so much fun. Thank you, Lisa King, for setting
okay.
this up, and we look forward to it.
Awesome.
God
okay.
bless you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Now to Buffalo, New York. Pat, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Well, I just heard about your show. I have to admit, I don't know much about your views. That's why I thought I would call and get it firsthand from you.
All right, great.
I know you're conservative, apparently.
Big
and
time.
I was wondering how you feel about interracial marriages.
Well, I'm not in one.
Well, I am.
Okay. I'm not in one, but, you know, Cheryl just happened to be Caucasian, like I am. But, you know, Moses, it appears that Moses very well may have had an interracial marriage. And really, all the races in the book of Acts, it says that God made all the nations from one blood. And we're all the one human race. And evolutionists back after Darwin, in fact, Darwin himself was a racist. And racists like the Nazis have used Darwinism and natural selection to
right.
promote their racist views. But the Bible, while the evolutionists were saying that blacks were a different species and a different race, Christians were saying no. God made us the one family of man.
Well, I'm really confused, because if we're all one family of man,
yeah.
then I've heard you take a really outspoken opinion on Israel and the Palestinians.
Yeah.
So if we're all one family, then why favor one brother over another?
Okay, because you probably weren't alive or doing much during World War II, right?
No, but I was raised by a World War II veteran.
Okay, cool. So the Germans were part of this family of man, as were the Jews back then, but the Germans were the murderers, the aggressors, the criminals, and the Jews were the victims. I'm not saying
now the Jews can take the place of the Nazis and be the murderers
well,
and the criminals?
Well, it's possible that any individual or group could become a criminal. But just because we're all one family, Pat, you should really retract that, saying, well, then, Bob, therefore, you shouldn't take sides. Because if I counseled a family in Denver recently where their oldest son was raping his younger sister. So 11-year-old girl was being raped for over a period of a year.
Okay.
And they loved their children. And then
they
were utterly devastated.
Human counseling.
But they were, he was completely, now this kid went to public school, which we had advised against a few years earlier. And the older son was completely unrepentant. So what does that family do about those kids? We'll be right back. Okay, hey, we're doing a live commercial break. And this just goes out over the web. So, but we started doing these on the radio affiliates also, and I think we're going to do that more. So we'll plan on that. Now, I started telling you about these Genesis albums we have. We do Sunday night Bible studies, and we've been doing them for some years now at Denver Bible Church. And we record them and sometimes clean them up a bit. You know, the beginning of this of the study, the end of the study, people are talking and laughing. And so we clean it up a bit, and we make a master tape, make copies, and we've been sending these tapes out. And we estimate that we've sold about 50,000 Bible study tapes, about 50,000. And for many years, we've offered people a money-back guarantee. And how many times have we given people their money back? I'm asking our inventory guy right now. He's here in the studio. He said he can't remember the last time. Yeah, not too often. And, you know, money-back guarantee because we appreciate your support to further this ministry, and we want to help you, edify you, build you up in your knowledge of the Word of God. But if you get Bible study tapes and you think, oh, this is silly, or I knew this anyway, then, you know, you could use your money more effectively elsewhere, even if it's for a nice steak dinner. But if we can really feed you the Word of God the way Bible wants teachers to feed the sheep, God wants people who've studied the Bible to teach others who are beginning to study the Bible, or maybe have read it for years but have a hard time understanding the overview of the whole Bible. What is the big picture, the whole story about? And how does each book in the Bible fit into the whole overall picture? And why are the books in the New Testament laid out just exactly the way they are? Why is that? Interesting questions. Well, there are answers to those and 1,000 other questions. And so you could call up at 1-888-8-NYART and order our monthly Bible study tapes. And it's $24.95 a month, $24.95 a month, and you'll get 4 tapes every month. And we hope that they'll be a blessing to you, and it's a way for us to grow this ministry. So I'll hear from you soon, I hope. Okay, now we're going back to Rochester to talk with Pat.
I'm in Buffalo, Bob. I'm offended.
In Buffalo. Hey, Pat, are you listening to the station out of Rochester?
I'm actually got you on the webcast.
Okay, you do.
Yes, right. They do. I'm one of those internet-savvy kind of people.
All right, that's so cool. All right, so, Pat, you should sort of take it back, what you said to me. The argument that since I recognize that all the nations of the world are one blood, that we're all one family of man that God made, still, sometimes some individuals or groups become criminal, and so we should oppose them and support the victims. Isn't that true?
Not necessarily. In the example that you gave, the family with the son who was molesting his sister.
Yeah.
Do his parents love him any less, or do they just not like his actions?
Yeah, they love him less. Let me
they
tell you what.
They love him less?
Yes, they do.
And I would have to wonder what factor that plays into his own illness.
No, they now love him less. And it's not an illness, Pat. It's a sin.
It's an illness,
no,
Bob.
It's,
anytime
it's,
that somebody feels the need to molest somebody else and take control over them, they are diseased.
So, Pat, men cannot be evil. They can't do wrong things. It's
no,
just all an accident.
People can be evil and do wrong things. There are some times that people act evil.
Yeah, like the Nazis. Were the Nazis all diseased, or was it tens of thousands of people who were very evil? Which was it? Was it a sickness?
I don't think it was actually either. I think that they were people who were following an evil man only because they weren't sure of what to do for their own country. If you look back at the history of Germany,
Pat, you don't
think that they were already in problems after World War I.
The tens of thousands of people who slaughtered the 6 million Jews, you make an excuse for them?
I don't excuse anything.
Well, was it evil?
Them or justify
now, Adolf
them.
Hitler, sometimes, because we don't understand humanity, we like to blame all of World War II on just Adolf Hitler.
No, I totally disagree.
Right, he didn't kill any Jews with his own hands, right? The 6 million Jews that were murdered literally by tens of thousands of Germans it's a big job to kill one adult. If you got to kill one adult, that's a big job. It's hard to do. It's difficult to kill a child. If you're going to kill 6 million people over the span of a few years, you need to create an industry of murder, Murder Inc., to kill that many people. And that's what the Germans did. And you know what? We have the minutes. Now that the wall has come down and all, there's just an enormous amount of data, documentation from the Nazis. And for example, we have the minutes of the mayors of the German cities when they all get together once a year to meet. And these guys were the mayors of Berlin and Munich from before the Nazis took power. And then the Nazis took power and they still were the mayors. And they went right along with every wicked and vicious program of the Nazis.
And if you consider it, they went along with it out of fear for their own safety.
That's no excuse. That's no excuse. There was...
I'm not saying it's an excuse.
It's evil.
Into why they acted the way they acted.
If it, Pat, were those the tens of thousands of Germans who participated in the machine to murder the Jews, the mass murder, were those Germans, were they guilty of wickedness, yes or no?
They were guilty of living in fear.
You're a fool.
I don't know if I can say wickedness.
Pat, you are a fool.
Bob, they, how name calling
you him. Are a fool, Pat. They murdered 6 million people, and you're more
Bob,
angry at me than at them.
I'm not angry.
You are
you're
too.
You're the one raising your voice and yelling at me.
I
Bob.
Am
now,
mad at
on.
You,
I
Pat.
I called here trying to get some insight for myself and not believe secondhand information.
Right, and you will believe me. You'll get the insight. You would be more angry at being called a fool than you are at the people who slaughtered 6 million innocents. Think
no.
about what's in your
no.
mind.
Bob, see, but what I'm not understanding, you are sitting there saying that, you know, these parents love their child less and the Nazis were evil and everybody's wicked.
I wanted to tell
else.
You the end of the story with the parents. The end of the story is this. When the son was confronted, he had threatened to kill his sister if she ever told anybody. And I knew this family. And we urged them years early, don't put your kids, take your kids out of the public school because they're getting messed up. Well, they didn't. And the older son, not only was he unrepentant, but he was an egotistical brat. How dare anyone condemn him or accuse him? He could do whatever he wants to do. And if his sister, it was her fault anyway. And what they realized, the parents realized, is he's not repentant and he'll do this again if he gets the opportunity. So at that point, loving parents have to make a decision for and against. They're either going to allow him to continue, which is they're hating their daughter because they're not loving and protecting her, or they're going to have to take a stand against their son. And what they did was they sent their son away from their family to live on a farm in Iowa, 15-year-old kid, and they told him, unless he is repentant and sorrowful, he will never be a part of their family again.
So then what you're saying is that they chose not to love him.
No,
the
they did
way.
Love him.
They chose not
no,
to love
that
him.
Was,
Bob,
that was
can
the...
I finish a thought? Then you can respond to me, please?
Go
that
ahead,
would be
Pat.
A little, I mean, you know, I appreciate that you know this family personally and you have more knowledge about their situation, but what I have to question then, if they loved him less, by your own words, what you said earlier.
Of course they did.
Okay.
They needed to.
So then what you're saying, God tells us to love the sinner, not the sin.
No, God never says that,
Pat. Every day of my life,
Pat,
from the time I was a child.
The Bible never says, love the sinner, hate the sin. It never says that.
Well, that's what I have always been taught,
you,
and I am
Well, they made it
old.
Up, Pat. Somebody made it up, and you believed it.
I personally no longer even believe in Christianity, but that's okay.
Okay, well,
that's
since you don't believe in Christianity anyway, then, Pat, let's just maybe you don't have a big emotional stake in this, and you could just believe me when I say the Bible doesn't say love the sinner and hate the sin. Doesn't say that.
It's fine. But then doesn't Christianity also teach that God loves his children?
The Bible says many times that God hates the wicked, many, many times. Have you ever heard
of
hell?
But we're all created in God's image.
And then we rebelled against him, and Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Have you ever heard of hell?
Of course I've heard of hell.
Okay, where does the notion of hell, of spending eternity apart from God, where did the human race get that notion from? Do you know what person, what religion?
What person? It's not a person. It's a common thing, a theme that runs through almost every religion. That
no,
there's some
that's
place
not
to be
true.
Segregated away from your God.
That's not true. Almost every religion has no hell, except Jesus Christ. If you read in the Bible,
Bob, there's no version of hell in Islam.
Islam is based on the Bible, Old and New Testament.
Islam
did you
is
know
based
that?
On the Quran given to
the
Muhammad
Quran quotes
by
the
Allah.
Old, the Quran quotes the Old and New Testament about 400 times. It's based on the. It calls the Bible the good book. It talks about Mary, the mother of Jesus, more frequently than the New Testament does.
And it doesn't talk about Jesus being the prophet from God. So it diverges from the New Testament.
Right. It's a different religion, but it does say that Jesus was a prophet from God. It does say that. You don't know the Quran very well, do you, Pat?
I was married to a Muslim and living in an Islamic community
well,
for five
Well, then
years.
You should have known that the
I
Quran...
I think I understand the Quran a little bit better.
Well, does the Quran, does it deal with Abraham and Moses?
Abraham, absolutely.
Right. And Jesus... The prophet,
and that's all because it happened around the same time period.
No, it
didn't. Very well-known men.
How many centuries after Christ did Muhammad live?
How many after Christ?
Yeah.
Oh, centuries.
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Well,
listen.
I mean, if you're going to give me a pop quiz on Islam, I'm sorry, I'm going to fail. I divorced my ex-husband 10 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, and maybe he didn't know it too well either. But Jesus Christ is the one who introduced the world to the notion of hellfire forever and ever. Not the Old Testament. The Old Testament talked about you could be redeemed and live forever with God, and when you died, there was the place of the dead, and it left it rather nondescript. But Jesus Christ...
There was no place of the dead in the Egyptian communities? They didn't believe that there was a place, the spirit of souls?
Yeah, they believed in an after... Like, you know, the Buddhists and the Hindus, they believe in an afterlife, but the world is mostly devoid of a suffering, torment, and hell forever. We have that. We have Jesus Christ to thank for that. Jesus Christ is who taught us that. And Jesus Christ said, yeah, God created you, and now you hate God. You hate your father. And just like these parents whose son hated his sister and he hated his parents. And so to continue to love the child molester is to further him in his own wickedness. Pat,
no, to love him is to get him treatment. And
you're wrong.
Heal
that
himself.
Doesn't work. That destroys him. We have 50 years of proof of that.
It
in our,
destroys them by
yeah,
getting
our
them
prisons.
Treatment for their
Pat,
issues?
Pat, have you studied our prisons? We went to rehabilitation 70 years ago, and we have a half century of proof that it's an utter failure. It doesn't work. In the Bible said...
It's only a failure because we as a society have continually... insisted upon housing inmates like animals rather than rehabilitating them. Every time an effective program gets into a prison, it shows recidivism rates.
That's inane,
decrease.
Pat. That's inane. And how many thousands of dollars do we spend to maintain a prisoner? And how about our federal prisons? They're nicer than a lot of Motel 6s. We'll be right back.
Bob Enyard teaches the Bible like few others. And one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, he carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931.
Bob's Monthly Bible Study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically. If you sign up by credit card, give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. And we're on the phone with Pat. I have a question for Pat. Obviously, she's liberal. I'd like to know if she thinks if she thinks that people are basically good or basically bad. Now, that's a question that divides all conservatives and liberals. One group thinks that people are basically good, and the other group thinks they're basically bad. And I'm going to ask Pat. Pat, would you answer that question?
I'll answer that question happily because I don't think people are inherently good or inherently bad.
Oh, you think?
I think each of us have the capability to be very good or very bad. It's all in how we choose to act.
All right, Pat. I agree that people have the ability. They could, with their lives, they can end up a very good influence or a very bad influence on the history of the world. But generally speaking, when people make their choices in their lives, do we see that people turn out basically good or basically bad?
I think people are basically good, but they have made some. Most of us have, at some point in our lives, made a bad choice.
Oh yeah, and so was it just an accident, or do we do bad things because we are selfish, and in fact because we're bad, or do we only do bad things by accident, and we all really have pure motives?
I don't think everybody has pure motives.
I'm talking about people generally. People generally.
Generally, yeah. People do the best they can and hope for the best results.
So generally, people are. So you go with the liberal line that generally people are pretty good.
I don't follow any particular party line. I'm liberal on some things and conservative on others. But
all right. So now the Bible says that people are sinners, that people are wicked. That's what the Bible claims. And most of the world thinks that people are basically good. And once again, Jesus is on the opposite side of the rest of the world, saying that people are basically evil. And there's a way to test that, I think. There's a way to find out. And that's to look at the history of the human race. When you look at the history of the human race, is it a history of mostly man loving his brother? Or is it a history of pain and suffering and torment?
If you want my completely honest opinion, I think much of the suffering and much of the problems in the history of mankind have been brought on by intolerance in the name of religion.
Okay, some of that is true, but still, even if that's true, then you're saying much of the intolerance, much of the hate in the world. And so would you agree if we got 20 history books out of the library and we looked at, let's say, the history of the Roman Empire?
Okay.
All right? They weren't Christians.
No.
And not until Constantine. But just the early Roman Empire, if we looked at their history, would it be the history of one period of misery to the next and one war to the next? Or would it be a history of wonderful goodwill and humanity toward their neighbors, toward foreigners? Which would it be? Would we see mostly hatred and pain and wickedness? Or would it be a wonderful history?
I think it would depend on which aspect of the history you're focusing on.
No, generally.
In general?
Yeah, generally.
In general, a broad brush viewpoint
of the history of Rome, the Roman Empire. Is it one of goodwill toward men, or did they enslave their neighbors?
Of course they enslave their neighbors. It's been that way throughout history.
Isn't that something?
Taking over the meat.
Thank you for just saying that, Pat. It's been that way throughout history. At the Colosseum, when they killed...
But then you're saying that we haven't evolved past that point, though?
Right, exactly. At the Colosseum...
I would have to fully disagree. Hold
on. I want to make a couple points here. At the Colosseum, when they took Christians and burned them as torches to light up the path to walk into the Colosseum, and when they fed the Christians to the lions, and the gladiators slit open their throats, and there was standing room only, and the throngs were screaming with elation. Right? Now, that was only 2,000 years ago, and if you believe in evolution, it takes millions of years to change the genetic code of a species. So that's only 2,000 years ago. We're identical genetically to the Romans 2,000 years ago. And it was only 60 years ago that the Nazis put in the plan to murder far more people than the Romans ever dreamed of murdering. And you don't have to go just to the Germans, because you could look at the Russians, who slaughtered 20 million people in the name of evolution and socialism. And the Chinese, who have slaughtered a million people in the name of peace and brotherly love and sharing and evolution and atheism.
Okay.
So when you look at that, it's not only 2,000 years ago and now we've evolved. We killed more people in the last century, percentage-wise, than our ancestors could have dreamed of killing. We killed them by the millions.
Yeah.
So, Pat, do you still think when we look at men doing the vicious and wicked things they do, not only leaders who slaughter millions, but men who marries a woman and then has an affair with her sister or her best friend and rips his wife's heart right out of her chest. That kind of treachery that human beings commit against one another. A woman who has children and destroys her family with her own hands so that she can have an affair with the salesman at work. That kind of wickedness that people commit against their loved ones. You still think that people are basically good, or that maybe Jesus Christ was right and people are sinners and they need to be redeemed?
No, I think people are basically good people who make bad choices, like in the case of the husband who has an affair with his wife's sister or her best friend.
So it's not that he's selfish.
Oh, I'm sure. I would definitely say he's selfish.
Well, if you're selfish,
an inherently bad person.
If you're selfish,
it makes him a person who made a bad choice.
If you're willing to put the woman you've committed your life to, if you are willing to torment her, because believe me, a man cheating on a woman who's been faithful to him for 20 years and she's been raising his children and caring for him, and then his affections go elsewhere, that tears her heart out. And if that man does not keep his commitment, his oath to his wife, and if he's that selfish that he can put her through that kind of torment, Jesus said it's not an accident, it's sin.
Okay, and I'm not saying it's an accident either. I'm saying it's somebody who's making a wrong choice.
Is it sin?
Well, that would be where our roads would diverge. Because I don't believe that. And there's nothing you can say to convince me of that.
Well, hey, Pat, didn't you just say a silly thing?
What?
I mean, that's the ultimate in intolerance and closed-mindedness, to say there's nothing you can say to convince me of that. I could never utter those words except in quoting you. Because if somebody showed me the evidence that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then I would no longer be a Christian. If somebody could show me the evidence that we've evolved from slime, then I would never believe that I was created by God. And if somebody could show you the evidence that there is a God and that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, then don't you think you'd want to be persuaded?
I would look at the evidence presented to me.
Okay.
And decide for myself.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, that's the same thing that we're encouraging juries to do every day. Look at the evidence presented to you. Not what other people are telling you.
So then you take it back, in other words. So then you take it back, in other words.
I'm not taking back anything. You're trying to convince me that your way is absolutely right, and I'm telling you that I am unconvinced.
Well, that, right, okay. But you said no matter what you tell me, I will never believe that. So I think you've gone ahead and modified that statement to if you showed me the evidence that was convincing, then I would believe it.
Bob, I have gone through many, many evolutions myself in my life. I have grown, I have changed, I have altered myself, my views, my perspectives on life. That saying what I said, that there's nothing you can do to convince me at this point,
yeah,
because I am set in my views at this point. I am comfortable with them.
Right.
I believe them.
But
they
if
work
you
for
saw
me.
The evidence.
And I support your right to believe as you believe for yourself completely.
Yeah, but that's like saying we breathe air, Pat. There's no reason to say that. I support your right to believe what you believe.
No, because
it's
you're
irrelevant.
Talking about intolerance, you know, and the evilness inherent in men. And if I was an inherently evil person.
You are.
I would. Pardon me?
You are evil.
Okay.
Pat,
all right. Assuming
Pat,
that you are correct.
Yeah.
That I'm an inherently evil person.
Yes.
I would say outright to you, you have no right to say that.
No,
you have no right to believe that way because I seek to oppress you in your view
only,
with my evilness.
Wickedness, Pat, exhibits itself. It exerts itself in many different ways. For example, the child molester who lives on the block. If there's a child molester who lives on your block, and I hear kids in the background.
Yes.
If there's a child molester who lives on your block, will he be the meanest guy on the block or the nicest guy on the block? What do you think?
Well, his personality will probably be one of the nicest guys.
Right,
his
right.
actions would be the evilest.
Right. He'd be the nicest guy on the block, and the kids, many of the kids, unless they had great wisdom, would like him more than the mean people on the block, who were really the good people on the block. And he would advocate free speech and diversity. He would do that, and with passion and with sincerity.
Not necessarily.
Oh, no, he would because child
advocate that the children speak to him only about his actions.
Child
he
molesters.
Would advocate they freely speak about what he's doing to them or what he tells them or shows them.
Child, there are groups in our country of associations of child molesters.
I'm well aware of NAMBLA.
Yeah, like NAMBLA and others. And those groups, they advocate free speech and diversity and tolerance more than any other issues. That's their biggies. So my point is this. You might be evil and advocate free speech and diversity and tolerance. Because you advocate what is currently popular does not mean that you're a good person.
I've never really given a fig about popularity in my entire life, Bob. I really don't take the popular view because if I took the popular view, I'd probably be agreeing with the conservatives who think like you do right now about the events of September 11th. And I don't necessarily agree with the view that we should hold all of Islam as evil and Palestine belongs to the Jews and that things should be the way they are. I don't hold to that view.
Well, no
so
one
if
holds.
If I was trying to be popular, though,
no,
I would.
No one holds to the view that the things should be the way they are. And I hear virtually no people saying that the Jews are all right and good and righteous, and the Palestinians are all evil. I don't hear people saying that.
Well, I was reading some things on your website that rather hinted at that.
What? No, I don't think so. What? Because if so, we've stated on this show repeatedly that Israel is one of the most evil nations in the world.
But yet you support their level of evilness over the evilness of Palestine.
Yeah,
you're picking
yeah, because if
the
you
lesser
have a,
of two
if,
evils.
If you have a neighbor who's evil and someone is trying to kill his children, you should still help your evil neighbor in defending his child from being murdered. And your evil neighbor has the right to defend his children from being murdered. So that even though America is evil, we promote wickedness to the world. We sexually exploit women, and we teach the world to do that. And even though we have so many broken families and kids on drugs and kids committing suicide and kids becoming murderers, we're so evil, yet we have the right to defend ourselves against those who would kill our women and children. And so do the Jews, even if they are an evil nation, which they are. Pat, thank you for your call.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, I did appreciate it. We're out of time. This is Bob Inert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.
Do right.